Glad you're with us this morning from home. I'm going to be going to 1 Kings chapter number 10 this morning. 1 Kings chapter number 10, and I'm going to read from verses 1 through 10. If you're here in the room with me, we are not going to have this on a screen for you this morning. You're going to need to turn to it if you want to see it. It will be on the screen for those of you at home. 1 Kings chapter 10, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10, and then also verse 13. We're back to our Africans in the Bible series. I had actually put this off a couple of weeks when the weather was bad, and I'd wanted to hang with the series, but I really wanted us to be back. But with it bad again this Sunday, I was just like, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And just really felt like we need to jump back into this. It's been a great series. We spent time looking at Simon from Cyrene, which was fantastic. We also hung out a week on the Ethiopian treasure and learned some great things from him. And then today as well, we're going to be looking at the Queen of Sheba, and we're going to find her in 1 Kings chapter number 10. So let's read that together. Chapter number 10, verses 1 through 10, it tells us this. When the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord, she came to test Solomon with hard questions. Arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan, with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold and precious stones, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all that she had on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the Queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. In fact, if you read it in Hebrew, it words almost like it took her breath away. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true, but I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told me. In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report I heard. How happy your people must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, large quantities of spices and precious stones. Never again were so many spices brought in as those the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired and asked for, besides what he had given her out of his royal bounty. Then she left and returned with her retinue to her own country. That's 1 Kings chapter 10, 1 through 10 and verse 13. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we do thank you for your word. We are always grateful as we come to it. Lord, it's a great story, as this series has been, when we looked at Simon from Cyrene, who carried the cross of Jesus and the transformation in his family, when we looked at the Ethiopian treasure, whose life was radically transformed, and the gospel went down into Africa, and how he was such a fulfillment of prophecy. These have been more than stories. They strengthen our faith, and I know that today will be no different. So speak to our hearts. Equip us through your word, I pray today, in the strong name of Jesus. And church, I want you to pray along with me if you're here. If you're at home, pray along with me as well at this time, if you would. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have driven some long drives before. I've driven to Arizona. That was a long drive to drive to Arizona. That was a long trip. I drove to Wyoming one time. That was a long trip to drive to Wyoming. When we went to Thailand, we flew from New York to Atlanta, from Atlanta to Seoul, South Korea, from Seoul to Bangkok, and then from Bangkok to Chiang Mai. By the time I got off the plane in Chiang Mai, I felt like I never wanted to be on an airplane again. It was 20-some hours to get there. It took forever to get there. That was a long trip. When I went to India, we flew from New York to Dubai, and then from Dubai to Calcutta, and then from Calcutta, we flew north to Siliguri, up in the Darjeeling area where the tea fields are gorgeous. Wow, that was a long trip. That was a long trip. Like many of you, I've taken some long trips. In fact, many of you watching, and even for those of you here in the room with me, many of you took long trips at some point in time just to get to Silver Spring, Maryland, even when you moved here with where you came from, as we're a very diverse church. It comes from all around the world. But all of my trips, and in fact, all of your trips in all likelihood, they all pale in comparison to the trip that we just read about. When I went to Arizona, we rented an RV. I mean, that was a fun trip. We actually rented an RV and drove across the country and stayed in campgrounds. We were on vacation. We were having a lot of fun. It was more relaxing. I was in a full-size van to drive to Wyoming. When I went to Kenya, I didn't have to row across the ocean in a boat. I was on an airplane in a comfortable, I don't know how comfortable an airplane seat was, because, you know, I was back with the peasants with not a lot of legroom. But the point is, I didn't have to row or get across. It was a pleasant trip when we flew. And so these have been some long trips, but we had different ways of making them. But for the Queen of Sheba, her trip was much longer than any trip that I took. And we don't know exactly how long her trip was, but we know that it was at least about 1,500 miles. And she didn't come in an airplane or in a van or in a boat. She came by camel. 1,500 miles by camel. That's crazy. Now, I don't know if we have a map to show you at home or not. Somebody in the back needs to wave a hand at me. We do. All right, so there's going to be a map that's going to pop up on your screen right now if you're at home. If you look at the map, if you look at the top of North Africa, you'll be able to see where Cyrene was. Cyrene was at the top of Libya, modern-day Libya, right on the Mediterranean Ocean. He came from there. We've been looking at some folks who made some trips. And, of course, Ethiopia. We have a number of Ethiopian families in our church. It's down to the right of Africa, on that eastern side of Africa, where we see Ethiopia. And Ethiopia in the Bible was kind of modern-day Sudan, Ethiopia, that whole area. But you see it over there as well. And as we continue our Africans of the Bible series, and we're looking at the Queen of Sheba, tradition would tell us that she came from that area of Ethiopia as well. So just gave you that map as a point of reference, but come back to me if you would at this time. So as we continue this series, I need to point something out about her as I jump into her. There is some debate over where the Queen of Sheba really came from. Some people think she came from New Jersey. That's not true. That's just a silly thing to make sure you're with me. But there is some debate over where she came from. Traditionally, she's always been understood to be from Ethiopia and that area. Some scholars believe she may have come from Yemen, though, on the other side of the Red Sea there, and I believe she could have come from that side and of the water, I should say. And Josephus, who is a historical writer from early times, he refers to the Queen of Sheba as the Queen of Egypt and Ethiopia. So that makes us think that she came from there. But Jesus, when he mentions her, he just calls her the Queen of the South. And I don't think he meant Alabama or Mississippi, but he just meant south of Jerusalem, south of Galilee, where he was, when he refers to. But I'm putting her into our Africans of the Bible series because traditionally that's where we know her to be from. When you get to heaven, if you meet her and you find out she was from Yemen, don't hold it against me. She'll know where she was really from. We're going to hang with her since it's where we traditionally know her to be from in this series. But I want us to get to know her a little bit as we jump in here. And we're going to get to know her by kind of walking through this text and seeing the things that she did. And I believe that's going to equip us today. So first things first, this woman took a royal journey. That's what we're going to call it. She took a royal journey. By camel. I've never been on a camel. I don't know if anybody watching has ever been on a camel or anybody in this room ever been on a camel. I've never been on a camel. I've definitely never taken a trip on a camel. But by camel, we understand that you would generally travel about 20 miles a day at a time. We don't know exactly where her journey began, so she could have traveled anywhere from about 1,500 to as much as 2,500 miles by camel. At 1,500 miles, at 20 miles a day, if you didn't stop, if every single day you went 20 miles, it would still take 75 days. to make that trip. 2.5 months each way. If she was as far as 2,500 miles away, that's 125 days each way. So this is quite the trip. Whatever the distance, it was extreme. And she brings a great deal with her. She brings gold. She brings precious stones. She brings spices that are said to just be an incredible abundance. And she would make this trip. And no doubt when she was there with Solomon, she would have established trade agreements with him. And there would have been a business component to it as well. But that wasn't what motivated the journey. She made the trip because of the things she had heard about regarding Solomon. We read that there in 1 Kings chapter 10. And what she heard was so incredible that it motivated her to make this big trip. She had been told grand stories. She had been told about his incredible wealth. She had been told about his immeasurable wisdom. People said that the wealth of Solomon was unlike any of the other kings of the earth. People said, you can say anything to Solomon. You can present him with any dilemma, and he always knows what to do. Any scenario, whatever you're facing, he can solve it. And there are examples in the Bible. You'll remember with me the two women and the local magistrates couldn't figure out what to do with them. These two women who lived with each other and each had a baby, and one of them, their baby died during the night. And she had actually got up and taken the body of her dead child and had laid it in the bed of the other mother and had taken the alive baby back to her bed, so that when they woke up in the morning, the one woman thought her baby had died, only to look at her baby and realize, this isn't my baby. Come on, there's moms watching. I got a mom right here in front of me, a couple of moms in this room. You could never fool a mother that she would not know what baby was hers. So this came before the local magistrates. Nobody could fit this. This is a day, there's no DNA test. There's no blood work at this time. There's no birth certificates. So it was just her word against the other woman's word. And how can we figure out whose baby is whose without other family in this scenario? They didn't know. So they came before Solomon. Hey, here's the stories. Both of these women say the same story. We don't know who the alive baby belongs to. Solomon said, I've got the answer. Cut the baby in half and give each of the women half a baby. What a solution to give. But Solomon knew something. He knew that a mother would give her child away before she would ever let you injure that child. He was banking on that. So, cut the baby in half. They can each have half the baby. And the one woman yelled out, no, no, no. Let her have the baby. And when she said that, Solomon said, she's the real mother. We know that. She's the mom. And Solomon did this kind of stuff all the time where he was just wise and he found solutions, and stories like this just spread all over. And they made it all the way down to the Queen of Sheba, and she decided, I'm going to go see for myself. This sort of thing happened with Jesus as well. People were amazed at the wisdom of Jesus. They were awed by it, and they would come to ask him questions also. There's an example of it in John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, when Nicodemus came to him. John 3, 1 and 2, it says this. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Nicodemus was a Pharisee who had come to inquire of Jesus about who he really was, is why he was there. Well, the Queen of Sheba, she didn't come under the cover of night like Nicodemus. He snuck in there. Man, she came with a caravan with all of these people with her and all of her camels and gold and spices and precious stones, all her royal splendor, and that was how she made her trip. So we need to sneak something in here. We need to remember, as I keep moving, as she's taking this royal journey, where Solomon obtained all his wealth and where he got his wisdom. God had come to Solomon when he had become the king and had spoke to him, offering him whatever he wanted. He had had a voice come from God where God had said, hey, whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you. And here's what Solomon asked for. Here's a quote. Solomon said this, I want a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. What a request. And God told him, since you didn't ask for things for yourself, since you didn't ask for selfish things, I'm going to give you great wealth in abundance. I'm going to bless you with wealth and honor because of your attitude in this situation. So the queen has come to see a king who has been greatly blessed by God. And the text even says that she's not just coming to see his wealth or test his wisdom, but it said she's coming because she heard about his relationship with the Lord. And when she arrives from her long journey, she gets a tour of the palace and the capital, and she sees all this amazing stuff that is there. She sees the government at work. She hears Solomon's wisdom when he speaks. And the Bible says that she's overwhelmed by it all. It takes her breath away. And she is so moved by all this that she sees and hears when she arrives from her journey that it brings her to this place, I want you to catch this, where she makes a royal profession. She makes a royal profession. That happens numerous times in Scripture, where people see the hand of God, they encounter the power of God, and they're so moved within by it that they make powerful declarations then about who God is. The King Nebuchadnezzar did it when the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in the fiery furnace. Afterwards, he declares it, wow, there's no God like their God. King Darius did it when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den and the lion spared him. And on this occasion, it's the Queen of Sheba with Solomon. She's not Hebrew. She's not Jewish. She's not a child of Abraham. She didn't grow up in Jerusalem. She's Sabian. But I want to look at her profession, her declaration in 1 Kings 10:9. I'm going to read it to you. 1 Kings 10:9. Here's what she says after she sees all Solomon's stuff. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness. Praise be to the Lord your God. Wow, that's her declaration, her proclamation. She didn't only realize that the things concerning Solomon were true, she realized that Solomon's God was amazing as well when she saw him. We serve an awesome God. We serve a God of wonders. We serve an awe-inspiring God. The God that we serve is unmatchable. He is infinite. He is beyond understanding. All of his ways are good. All of his words are pure. His love is everlasting. His sovereignty is unchallenged. His omnipotence is unstoppable. His omniscience is immeasurable. If we go up to the heavens, our God is there. If we make our depths in the bottom of the sea, our God is there. If you follow God with your life, if you serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, people who encounter you in life will be brought to a place where they can't help but declare that God has been good to you. If people watch my life, whether they want to believe in my God or not, it's up to them, but they won't be able to help but declare his God has been good to him, as they would see the hand of God at work in my life. And it's true in your life as well. She saw it. She saw it. Think about what had happened in Solomon's life. Excuse me. Think about what had happened. In one generation, even if you're at home, I want you to say that, one generation. Hold a finger up. If you're with somebody, poke them with the one finger or something to make sure they're with me. In one generation, the hand of God had taken a family from David sleeping in caves, running for his life, to Solomon sitting on an ivory throne layered in gold. One generation, that was the transition that had taken place. In one generation, they had gone from David not even being called in when Samuel came to anoint the next king, and Jesse, his father, said, well, he's out with the sheep, it's not him. In one generation, we go from David not even being called in to world leaders traveling hundreds of miles to meet Solomon. In one generation, they had gone from David asking Nabal for food to eat, from David eating the leftover shewbread in the temple, to Solomon having more food than they could ever eat. In one generation, David asking for food, to Solomon with food in incredible abundance and more spices and seasonings, it says, than anyone had ever seen before. They don't just eat chicken now, they eat jerk chicken. They don't just eat goat, they eat curry goat now. They have barbecued ribs and garlic butter steak. Come on, I'm gonna make myself hungry. Don't underestimate what God can do in one generation. In one generation, God can take a family that is struggling to make it, and the sons and daughters end up blessed abundantly in their education, in their opportunities, in their finances. And if you are the son or the daughter or the nephew or the grandchild of a family that tells you of the struggle, don't miss what God did in your family from one generation to another one, what God brought your family from. You don't want to miss what God did in your family. David went from eating dry, bland bread to now Solomon keeps a bottle of hot sauce on the table and there's adobo for everybody. It's all over the place. There are spices in great abundance in one generation. The queen brought Solomon an abundance of gold and precious stones and spices. And you're not going to believe this, but we actually have some of the spices here at the church right now. I actually do. If you're watching, you're not going to believe me, but it's true. We have some of the spices here at the church right now. We have Queen of Sheba spices here at the church. And in fact, Victor's going to help me. He's going to bring these around the room and give one to each family in the room. Can I bring this close to the camera, Melissa? I can't see the camera. How are we doing? Get closer, don't move. Look at that. We actually have. Victor, go ahead and give those to everybody who's in the room. You could see that at home. Queen of Sheba spices right here at SSA. And everybody, there's actually people who are here this morning. They're all getting it. But here's what I want you to do. All right, I'm going to go back to the pulpit now. You got me? I'm going back. Here's what I want you to do. That phone number that we put up during our service, if you want your own bottle of Fit for a King, praise be to the Lord. It actually says on the bottle, CSSSA, TNEK, Sarah Bueno. Come on. Yeah, so if you want your own bottle of Fit for a King spices that Queen of Sheba brought to Solomon, you need to text us at that number, your name and address, and we're going to mail this to you this week. You don't have to send anything for it. This isn't a gimmick. So we're just having some fun with that one. She brought so much stuff, one generation to make the switch from one to the other. It was incredible. So let us know so we can get it to you as well. The queen saw. She saw what God had done, and she professed of his goodness. And in this, she set an example. Catch this. I want to give you a last point today and pull all this together. So she made this royal journey. She made this royal profession. But what she does for all of us in this is she is a royal example. She's a royal example for us. The whole account is given to us in Scripture, not so that we can know that her questions were answered, not so that we can know that she gave a lot of gifts or received a lot of gifts. We're to draw something from this. There's a lesson to be learned. And Jesus gives us the lesson centuries later when he refers to her in his teaching. I'm going to show it to you and read it. It's Luke 11:31. Luke 11:31, it says this. The queen of the south. Now he's talking about the queen of Sheba's, who Jesus is talking about. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now something greater than Solomon is here. Luke 11:31. Now when Jesus spoke these words, he was speaking harshly. He was speaking abrasively. The people that Christ was speaking to, they were a people who had seen the miracles of God. They were a people who had heard the teachings of Jesus, but they still didn't believe. And Jesus points out that the queen of Sheba, when she had seen Solomon, she believed. And what he said to her then was, someone greater than Solomon has come. And yet he said to them, you're seeing me and you're not believing, was his declaration. Jesus points this out. What we draw from this royal visit here, this royal visit, is that when God has revealed himself to us in word and deed, we are then without excuse if we no longer believe. I want to say that again. Jesus is saying that if God has revealed himself to us in word and in deed, we're without excuse if we no longer believe. If she can see and hear Solomon and believe, how much more should we today be able to believe the words of Christ? Come on. That was what Jesus' teaching was. If she can see how God blessed one man and believe, how much more should we today be able to see how God has blessed so many and also believe. When we hear the testimony of someone's salvation, come on, you've heard the testimony of someone that it looked like there was no hope for them whatsoever, and God saved their soul. You've heard the testimony of someone who was strung out on drugs, in prison, no future whatsoever. God redeemed them and changed their life. When we hear that story, how could we then not believe for the salvation of our own son or daughter or loved one or someone else in our own family? That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you saw what God did. How can you? Come on, we walk by faith and not by sight. But he's saying, you've seen the hand of God. You can't see what God did and then still not believe. When we've seen the provision of God in someone else's life, and then we have need in our own family, we ought to be able to believe God for our own needs to be provided. When we've seen how God has healed someone else, come on, we believe for healing in our own bodies as well. We've seen what God has done is what he declares. The account of the Queen of Sheba should strengthen our faith in God. It should bring us to a place of profession as well, even as she declared it, where the queen came to a place of saying, wow, your God is amazing. Your God, it should always bring us to a place of such a profession of faith as well, of, you know what? God is able. God is good. Nothing's too hard for him. He's going to move in my situation as well. And I want to pray for us today. I want to pray for God to strengthen our faith as we remember the things that he has done in our lives. I want to pray. We didn't take a big journey this morning. Most of you were just sitting at home on your couch, or some of you might even be laying in your bed watching me right now. So you didn't take a journey this morning, but a woman did. She took a great journey. And when she got there, she made this incredible declaration. And the lesson learned out of it from God's word that we see there, the lesson from it that Jesus said was that we should get is, come on, if she did that and she knew that God was real, how much more ought we be able to believe God and believe for the things of God in our life? So if you're in the room with me, I want to invite you to stand. If you're at home, stir yourself, move your body, maybe stand also. I want to pray for you this morning, and I'm going to pray for God to strengthen our faith as we reflect on the things that God has done in our lives, and pray for God God's ready to move. I want to pray for us to believe for the things that God is going to do. So let me pray for you. Even as I say that, I know from in the room that we're getting a bunch of notifications from you already who want your Queen of Sheba spices. I hope we get to send them to every single one of you. I want you to have it as well. So make sure. If you're not a texter, then email us. Call and leave your name on the voicemail at the church. Just make sure we have your name and address so we can get that to you as well. It'll be a great reminder of you that when you see it, when you pick it up at home, come on, and you're going to use it. Plus, it's got a picture of someone you know on it. So when you pick it up to use it at home, it's going to remind you, wow, if she saw Solomon and believed God, I can believe for the things of God as well. And it's going to remind you to strengthen your faith. Let me pray for you now. Father, in Jesus' name, thanks so much for this day. It was a little icy this morning, Lord God, but you're good. And we thank you, Lord God, that we were able to still connect virtually this way, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for the example of the Queen of the South. I pray, Lord God, that as Jesus challenges us so strongly with her example, that we would respond to it today. We've seen your hand move as well. So may we be a people of faith who believe the promises of your word, who walk in them, who rest in your peace, knowing, Lord God, that you're good, that your words are true, and that you're going to be at work in our lives. We thank you for these things in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I'm so glad you joined us. Hey, next week the forecast looks beautiful for February, 45 and Sunday. I'm praying it stays. Boy, I miss having folks back in the room. You can register online for next Sunday service already today. It'll already be live so that you can connect with us. We do need for you to register ahead of time so that we know you're coming. It just helps us in preparing and with honoring the current guidelines. Happy Valentine's Day. God bless you. Hey, live victoriously in Christ Jesus this week. That's God's plan for you. Amen.